Good morning, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. So honored to be with you here today. And if you have any questions about the message coming up, you can text this number, 780-850-6672. Text now and you receive a free prayer. Now, have you ever seen somebody, maybe a family member, a loved one, a friend, or even a stranger, and thought that person is too far gone? That person is as good as dead. There is nothing that can be done about them. Change, hope for them is impossible. How about for yourself? Have you ever thought similar terms? Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you hurt somebody. Or maybe just the world is so hard and all you could think is, I'm too far gone. I'm as good as dead. My family, unfortunately, has a long line of alcoholics, and my dad was alcoholic, yada, yada, and I started drinking alcohol when I was about 11 years old to 15 years old, and in my darkest moments, because I believed there was God, I believed in him, I thought, I've done too much. Maybe I'm too far gone. Maybe I've done so much bad. I've run away from God so long. There's no hope for me. I'm as good as dead. In my work in the inner city, I see so many of people I know who are just struggling with mental illness, maybe addiction, and a lot of them are just walking like this. And I'm so tempted to believe that person is too far gone. There's nothing that can bring them back. They are as good as dead. Have you thought that? Now, as Pastor Victor mentioned, we're doing a series right now called Discovering the Depths of God's Mercy. And the question is, how does God guide us? Be with us when we are disobedient, when we're in trouble. And we're going through the book of Jonah. And if you read the first chapter of Jonah, you might be thinking, similar terms, this guy is too far gone. He's as good as dead. In fact, we threw him into the ocean. There's no hope for him. But the good news we'll find today is that God's mercy is so deep. No one is too far gone or as good as dead. Jonah wasn't. Our loved ones, our friends, no one is too far gone for God's mercy and grace. So if you have your Bibles with me, and this may be a good time to mention that whether here or online, we have sermon notes, and you can follow along the scripture there. Or you can follow on the screen here. But we're going to go to Jonah. We're actually starting in chapter 1, just the last verse, 17, all the way to Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. So Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Hear the word of the Lord. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, in Hebrew, the word is Sheol, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray you come, Holy Spirit, for those who maybe feel that they've made too many mistakes. Come and comfort them. For those who maybe don't know you yet and feel like I'm too dirty, I'm too bad. Lord, speak their name and tell them you love them. And for those of us who maybe are thinking, oh yeah, I got this, where I'm all good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. But in their heart, something's wrong. Something is not where it ought to be. Convict them and also shower your love upon them. And Lord, just come here today so that we may glorify you, we may exalt you, we may experience you by the power of your Holy Spirit. And may you use these small words of mine for your great glory today. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This is what I believe God wants us to know today, and you can write this in your sermon notes. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and he delivers the lost. We cannot comprehend how deep, how wide, how vast is the love and mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Even when we are going off track, even when we are disobedient to God, his mercy is still there to listen to us, to deliver us. And when God's mercy is revealed to us in our darkest moments, all we could do is cry honestly to God like Jonah did. And this prayer, this psalm, or this cry to God is probably, most likely, what's called a lament. And it's the idea of an honest cry to God, knowing and trusting that he is there. Can you put the slide up, Colby? I'll say it again. Lament is an honest cry to God, knowing that he is there. As you might remember, I did mention that Jewish people are, in that time, were very afraid of the sea. That's where all the bad things were. And most of his imagery is of him drowning, being tossed in the waves and seaweed wrapped around his head. If you can imagine the most messed up thing, the most scary thing for you in your life, use those images to describe how you feel to God. That is what lament is. Jonah is able to pray so honestly to God because he knows, even though he's resisting it, he knows how deep God's mercy is. And he just cries to God from his heart. And God, in his mercy and love, listens to Jonah and delivers him. Not because Jonah is so good or that he said the perfect prayer, but because God is so merciful and so good. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and he delivers the lost. So we're just going to break those up again. Simply, first we'll look at God's mercy is so deep, and also how God delivers the lost. So the first one is God's mercy is as deep as the ocean. Now, because Jonah was disobedient to God, the heavens and the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who made Jonah, since Jonah was disobedient to the maker, God had every right to punish him and even to destroy him, because that is what Jonah deserved. And one way to understand mercy is to look at the idea of justice. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is getting what we don't deserve. And God gives Jonah what he doesn't deserve, a second chance. Oh, another chance. He's giving Jonah a lot of chances here. Another chance. And Jonah knows that God put him in this situation. Verse 3, and one thing powerful about Psalms is you can yell to God and be angry with God. And God is okay with that. God's angry. Jonah's angry, like, you hurled me into the sea. You did this to me. And a very specific, interesting word here is, Jonah says, you hurled me into the deep. And this is also in verse 5. And this, again, relates to the idea of being in the deepest, darkest part of the ocean. Like I said earlier, that's where all the scary boogeymen and wild beasts are. God put Jonah into the most scariest part of that anyone could ever imagine. And then in verse 4, Jonah says, I have been banished from your sight. And that word is actually very strong. It's not used much in the Bible, but in other texts, it can refer to divorce. Jonah and God and all God's people had this beautiful relationship with each other. They were, in a sense, they loved each other so much. It's like they were married to each other. And because of Jonah's disobedience, he feels like he's being divorced by God. He's become an unfaithful spouse. And as he's banished, he believes he has even reached the end of his rope, his death, the grave. And the word he uses is Sheol. Now, you can write this in your notes. Sheol is known as the underworld, where we go after death. And possibly, we're not 100% sure, but the ancient Jews believed the gate of Sheol was at the bottom of the sea, even below the mountains. We see in verse 2 and in verse 6, when Jonah refers to the term pit, this deep, dark hole, it's basically the same word as Sheol. And some commentators believe that Jonah actually died in the belly of the fish because of the so many references to the grave or Sheol. Now, we're not 100% sure, but we are sure that Jonah was at least as good as dead. There was no hope for him. There's no way he could get out of that fish belly, even if he loved to eat fish. He can't eat that much fish to get out. There was no way unless the one who caused this situation to happen, the Lord, intervened. Unless the Lord had mercy. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and he delivers the lost. And God's mercy was there with Jonah. I mentioned this psalm last week, but I'll say it again. Psalm 139, verse 8 and 9 to 11, it says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, in the deep, you are there. And then in verse 11, it says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And Jonah, to give him credit, he believed this. In verse 2, he says, I called to you out of my distress, and you answered me. And in verse 4, he says, though I've been banished from your sight, though we've had a divorce, or at least the feeling of the divorce, yet I will look again to your holy temple. In the Jewish context, that was the place where you could actually meet God, the closest you can get to God. Even though we're divorced right now, I'm gonna see you again. We're going to be in a relationship again. And then verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer rose to you in your holy temple. As he was running away from God, he was in the belly of the fish, like, okay, I better remember God. I better turn my face away from where I want to go to the one who has called me somewhere else. God's mercy, you can write this in notes, goes deeper than our disobedience against God. It's as deep as the ocean. And I encourage you, when you are feeling lost, when you are in trouble, or maybe you are feeling that you've disobeyed God so much and you've been hiding it, you haven't confessed it to others, or you've been minimizing it, oh, that's not that bad. Come on, it's just a small little sin. Get on your knees, humble yourself, or God will humble you, i.e. put you in a fish belly. I'd rather go on my knees than God taking me to my knees. Let me say that. Pray to God honestly. Pray to him, what are you feeling about yourself? What do you really think of yourself? What do you believe about yourself and about God? And know that God's mercy is always with you, no matter where you are, no matter how far away and how deep you have fallen. The second one is God's mercy delivers the lost. This is the good news. Now, Jonah did believe that God's mercy was as deep as the ocean, and it was powerful enough to deliver the lost. In verse 9, it's very beautiful. But I will sing a song of thanksgiving. I will sacrifice to you what I have vowed, I will make good. Now, this maybe implies that, you know, I'm now going to do, Lord, what you told me to do. But he didn't really vow it, so maybe he's kind of being a little sneaky here. We're not really sure. But at the end of verse 9 says, salvation comes from the Lord. Now, what's funny is just before this verse, he says in verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols will forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And then he says, but I'm better than that. I will come. And he might be saying, Lord, I'm better than the Ninevites, right? So you'll save me, because I'm obviously you're going to save me. We're not sure. We're not 100% sure. And maybe, like I said earlier, he's still stressing with this call from God, and he's still being a bad guy, let's just say that. He's still being disobedient. Even so, God in his mercy delivers him. And it's very graphic. It says the fish vomits out Jonah, and some commentators believe that that's kind of God's response to Jonah's prayer. Like, oh, Jonah, you start off good. Then you're like, he kind of was saying, oh, yeah, but, you know, those who are worthless idols, Nineveh, I'm not like them, God, so you'll get me out, right? And God's like, gag, like, oh, Jonah, you're such a pompous bumhole. Anyway, we're not sure, but regardless, the main point is God delivers Jonah, not because Jonah was good or he had a good prayer per se, even though we have to give some credit to Jonah, but because God is so merciful and good. Like, what an amazing God. Like, if I was God, I would let Jonah rot in there. at least more than 3 days. Come on. At least a week. Let him ferment a little bit. Pickle him, you know? Then you can raise him to life. It doesn't matter. But God, 3 days and three nights, you know, when do you need water by? Usually, you need water by 3 or 4 days, right? Just when Jonah's about to die, if he didn't die already, pops him out. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and he delivers the lost. Now, the story of Jonah, of course, as we've been going through the whole series, is a picture of Jesus himself. You can write this in your notes. God saving Jonah from the darkness of the whale foreshadows or points to or anticipates or gets us ready for God saving Jesus from the darkness of death. It's very important to, as you read the Old Testament, we should always read it with the New Testament and vice versa, because both shed light on each other. The Holy Spirit used the whole scripture to give us this full picture of Jesus and his good news. And to get that full picture, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 38. It says here in verse 38, the sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." Now, I don't want to talk about this too much because Marcelo is actually going to bring the word next week, and he's going to focus on this kind of part to it. But in Jesus' time, those who were considered, I think, too far gone were actually the religious leaders. They were the ones, they believed they had everything right. And Jesus was trying to get to them over and over again, but they wouldn't listen. They were too disobedient. And they wanted a sign from God to fully convince them. Once we see a huge sign from God, then we'll believe. Then we'll finally have faith. But Jesus says, he answered in 39, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth," which is another word for Sheol, or the grave. "And the men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here." Now, there's so much to unpack there. I won't get too much into it, but the only sign that Jesus wanted to give them was the sign of Jonah. And just like Jonah was as good as dead, 3 days in the pit, in the deepest part of the earth, as close to Sheol as you can get, Jesus here was telling everybody what God's plan was for him. That he too would spend 3 days and three nights dead in the heart of the earth. And Christians have believed this for centuries. Now, if we could do this together, this is called the Apostles' Creed. We're not going to read the whole thing, but we're going to read a part which tells us how deep God's mercy is for us, how deep Jesus went for our salvation. If you could put it on the screen, Cole, we can read it together, starting in "I believe." "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, again, rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Thank you. Did you see that one point there? Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and then what happened? He descended to hell. As Jonah, through the fish, descended to the deepest part of the earth, so too, Jesus went further to hell itself. Now, there's so much debate on what Jesus did there, okay? I'm not going to get into it now. The main point is that Jesus went to the place which we deserved. Instead of us, who are disobedient to God, and therefore deserve to be divorced by God, Jesus separated himself from God, whom he loved, in order to reach and save all of us who are lost, all of us who are far away from God. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean. He delivers the lost. We are all like Jonah and the Pharisees. We've been disobedient to God. We were all seemingly too far gone, as good as dead. When sin and death first entered the world, it seemed so hopeless. We were cut off from God. Instead of God leaving us to die, leaving us to rot, God in Jesus came down from heaven to earth, which is already a huge descent, to extend his mercy. And he lived a perfect life, life that Jonah and we were called to do but could never live. Then he also died and went even deeper, the depths of hell. And as he went deeper, he took our shame, our sin. He took the punishment that we deserved on him so that we can receive mercy, so that we can get what we don't deserve. And then, after 3 days and three nights in the deep, the best news of all, Jesus rose from the dead. And this time, a fish didn't vomit Jesus out. Blah. The stone was rolled away. It was a glorious resurrection. A good resurrection. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can all find salvation. We can all be reconciled back to God. You can write this in your notes. The sign of Jonah is that God will deliver the lost people of Israel and the lost people of the nations. If you go back to Jonah chapter 1, Jonah was thrown into the sea. And what happened? Do you remember what happened to the storm that was bellowing? It stopped, yeah. Like Jesus calmed the sea. And then the sailors who were pagans, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, they begin to believe in God. And in a similar way, when Jesus came to deliver all his people, deliver Israel first, he says in Matthew, the Ninevites will look at the Jews and say, "What are you thinking? Jesus is the Messiah. How could you reject him?" The worst people, the Ninevites, believed. And also the Queen of Sheba, who represents Egypt and Ethiopia, she's thinking, "Oh, what are you doing? He's the Messiah." Jesus came for all the nations, all peoples. That is the sign of Jonah, that God will resurrect his son out of the deep to defeat the grave, defeat the deep, forgive our sins, give us new life for all peoples of the earth. for all of us who are lost. Luke 19 says, talking about someone who is lost. Oh, here it is. Basically, I'll read it. So, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Who was lost? God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and it delivers the lost. Let me just give you two quick applications. Surrender when you are lost and seek the lost. Are you feeling lost right now? Maybe you've never experienced the love and grace of Jesus, and you feel like you have gone and wandered too far away from his mercy and grace. Let me tell you, God is the God of the impossible. No one is too far from him. No one is as good as dead. And I encourage you, if you feel the Holy Spirit calling you, just surrender. And I'd say if you are a follower of Jesus and you've been kind of doing things you're not supposed to, you've been running away like Jonah, remember God's mercy is for you too. It's not about how good we are, it's about how good God is. And last one, let's say if you are a follower of Jesus and you are seeking him, I encourage you to join in God's mission to seek the lost. Your friends, your coworkers, tell them about the good news of Jesus, which is for them. His mercy is for all of us. Let me just end with a story. I work in the inner city, and this week we had a sharing circle. We share our hearts, we pray together. And one lady I got to know, she's so on fire for God. She's so thankful. And I always forget her history. She was homeless for 45 years. And she says this, I was one of those people you think is too far gone, would never experience a new life. And she said she used to walk just like this for 45 years. And unfortunately, she was struck with addictions and also sexually exploited. She had to use her body to survive, for one, and also to get finances. And she would tell me just casually, she's just reflecting on how bad her life was. She used to smoke a cigarette, not because she liked smoking, but if someone was going to attack her, she'd poke them in the eye with a cigarette. That was her defense. She had all these tricks she used to survive. And then one day, a pastor came to her as she's walking the street and said, can I pray for you? And he did. And my friend felt this love. And he invited her to church. And then a few weeks later, she was clean and sober. And she has been for about 10 years now. And she always says, Satan took my life for 45 years. Now I'm having the rest of it for Jesus. And if I would have saw her 45 years ago, I probably would have thought, there's no way, it's not possible. But God is the God of the impossible. God's love is reckless. It's not going to choose the best of it. It's going to choose the worst of the worst and bring healing and transformation. God's mercy is as deep as the ocean, and he delivers the lost. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your mercy and grace. Thank you for saving Jonah, for giving us this story of connects to us. And Lord, thank you for Jesus, who is the greater Jonah, who is the one who is fully obedient to you. So thank you that unlike Jonah, we have your Holy Spirit. We have Jesus living inside of us that we can live a new life. We can be transformed. We can be like you, Jesus. So help us, Lord, to surrender our lives to you. Pray for those who don't know you that they would just call upon you, Jesus. Jesus, I need you. In their distress, may they call to you, Lord, because you hear them. And Lord, I pray for those who are lost in our life, they would come to our mind right now. that we have is this desire that they know you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the merciful one, and give us opportunities to share your good news with them in our actions, by our love. Guide us, Lord, and comfort us as we pursue you. Thank you that you are always pursuing us, that you are always with us, and you are so good. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.